Welcome to episode 28 of Frank Reactions, the show where we focus on improving customer experiences online and off in the digital era. My name is Tema Frank, and I'm your host. Last week was something of a double header for me. I went to the B2B online conference in Chicago for a couple of days and then headed up to Toronto for eTel Canada for another couple of days. I didn't end up recording any interviews at B2B Online, partially because I had a nasty allergic reaction. It turns out there's a thing that looks just like chocolate mousse, but is actually peanut butter mousse. Oops. Anyway, so I was kind of out of action for some of the time there. But I did take a lot of notes from the parts I was at, and between that and looking at what others have had to say and looking at the slides, I will put together an episode of this show devoted to B2B Online and what I learned there. So stay tuned for that. At the eTel conference, I finally managed to interview someone who I've been wanting to talk to for a long time now, Rene Racine, who is the VP of Customer Experience for Digital Channels at Indigo Books. And that's the interview we've got today. In our interview, we discuss how to build and use a customer panel and other ways that Indigo gets ideas from customers. We talk about some of the challenges of competing against Amazon when there's really no hope of beating them on price or on speed of delivery. And we discuss the sneaky tactic that Rene uses to win CEO approval of new initiatives. I've also put together more of my notes from the eTel Canada conference at storify.com/TemaFrank/eTel-Canada-2015. I know that's kind of long, so I will also have that link on the show notes for today's episode. In that Storify, what I've taken to doing is actually a lot of my notes for conferences. I'm basically doing them now as little tweets. And so I've put together my tweets and those of some of the other people who were at the event. And so we cover topics like some general statistics on e-commerce growth and some particularly Canada-specific stats, which can be kind of hard to get. Information about omnichannel, email lists, and the Canadian anti-spam law. Learning from your customers, which is really also the main theme of today's interview. Building fans and loyalty. The strategic aspects of e-commerce, advertising and branding, and how Facebook's role in that has changed, content marketing, in-store customer experience, mobile, technology choices and challenges, and shipping and delivery choices, challenges, methods. If you are interested in e-commerce, you might want to look that up, as well as listening to today's interview with Rene. So here we go. Here's the interview, and I will chat with you briefly at the end.
I'm Rene Racine. I'm the VP of Customer Experience for Digital Channels at Indigo.
And how long have you been doing customer experience work there?
Well, that's an interesting question, because when I started 7 years ago at Indigo, I would have called myself a user experience person.
Right. That was my background, too.
Was it?
Yes.
Yeah. So a number of us sort of saw that, right? That really I'm not dealing with users. I'm dealing with customers.
Right.
And the only way to design great user customer experiences is to get to know them. Mm-hmm. So I began programs at Indigo like UX testing and bringing them in, like unheard of.
And I tried to sell them on that in 2001 and I wasn't getting very far.
No. No. And, you know, and having customer panels and really having a forum to reach out and have these human relationships with our customers so that customer becomes not someone you think they are, but someone that you know intimately.
Right.
And I think that's how I transitioned from user experience into customer experience.
So how did you go about building customer panels?
It started very slowly, as it does. So whenever we get customer feedback, back it up. The very start was I put up a page on our website that said, tell us what you think.
Mm-hmm.
And on that page, it had links to our social channels, but it also had a link to email me directly.
Okay.
Right? With an invitation to tell me what you think about the site.
Right.
So whenever a customer would write in, whether it was happy, you know, I just love your site and I love Indigo, which we get a great number of those, which is fantastic.
Nice. Like, what a great job.
Or, and more importantly, if the customer wrote in to say, you know what, your search stinks, or I had a bad experience with X, those are the people that I most actively solicited for our panel, because those are the people who want things to be better.
Right.
Right? Who are really going to have ideas for me about how things could be better, not just how we're going to live the status quo. So I would reply to each person with the usual, like, thank you for letting me know. That sounds like a bad experience, and I'm really sorry. I have a proposition for you. I have a customer panel. Would you be willing to volunteer for it? And you're going to expect to hear from us a few times a year, and we're going to ask you questions, and you'll be able to, because it's your voice that we want on that panel. And you would be shocked. Well, you wouldn't be shocked, but a lot of people would be shocked to see how many of those critics said, yes, you're damn right, I want to be on your panel. Right? So that's really where it began. So, you know, the first 100 or so people came through those channels. Then I would sort of twist social's arm to say, could you just post? Like, just for, I know you have a busy editorial calendar, but would you mind just posting an invitation to join our panel? So they would do that, and then we'd get 400, right? And so immediately it begins snowballing and growing.
Okay. So do you provide any kind of rewards or incentives or anything as a thank you to the people who participate in the panel?
On the panel, no. It's a volunteer basis. And I feel like that's important. I want you to just be willing, right? Because I can't say I'm going to contact you every month. I don't know. It just really depends on what's going on that year. Mm-hmm. So we say it's volunteer. Every once in a while, we'll just do a surprise and delight just for the panel. So we'll send out a 10% off before holidays come, or the ability to try things first is sort of an incentive on its own.
Yeah.
So our panel was the first to be able to access our new app. And they were able to download it with a code so that no one else in the world had it, but they had it. And
which,
that
of course, is great, because then you're getting feedback.
Absolutely. So I'm finding out what the issues are before it hits the general public, which is great, but it's also a reward for those people who are so invested.
Yeah, for sure. And what kind of attrition rates do you have from them?
So low.
Yeah.
So low. It's absolutely incredible. So when we go out with a big one, usually I'll take the panel and I'll chop it down to maybe I only want to contact 50 people right now about this, or I want to send out this survey, but only to maybe 100, and I want them all to be, whatever, in Ontario, female, 45, et cetera.
Right.
But on the times where we go like full blast list, we need to hear from everybody. So we're going out to more than 1,000 people. I will probably get about 5, you know what, take me off the list.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
that's not bad.
That's fair. That's totally fair. Because things that I might have signed up for 4 years ago, I'm over.
Sure.
Yeah.
So what are some of the surprises that you've learned from your panel?
Well, thinking of one recently, so we're in the process of looking at what does the store of the future look like for Indigo?
Right.
Because you think store of the future, you think digital, you think big screens, you think endless aisle, you think exciting digital things. So we went out to our customers to ask them. So we used the panel to start with. We asked them a very open-ended, describe the store of the future to us. And then we asked them a few kind of quantitative questions that we could benchmark. And the descriptions that they came back with were fully wonderful, because we gave them absolute carte blanche, right? So what do they imagine? So people were coming back with, like, I see a store where it's all white and it's Lucite and it knows what I want. Like, everything from Total Minority Report.
Right.
Right. To other people who were, my store of the future is like your store of 10 years ago.
Mm.
I want you to go back to that. I want you to be the bookstore I spent my teenage life in.
Right.
And I completely get that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a bit of a, interesting, because then when we looked at the quantitative behind that, you know, we asked people what they think of us now. Do they feel that we're like a quiet, contemplative place, or a creative and inspiring place, or an energetic space? They all said, I feel that you're a quiet, contemplative space, and that's what I want from you.
Right.
And we heard over and over, this insight came up that people are actually using our stores as a means of getting away and disconnecting. Mm-hmm. Right. So people who show up at an Indigo on their lunch hour are just trying to get away from their office and from their desk and from their phone, and they just want to be there quietly browsing the stacks and doing what people love to do in bookstores.
Can you talk a little bit about your idea, Agora? You presented that in there. And
yes. It's kind of cool. Yeah, it's totally cool. So that was started by our social team. When I was actually off on mat leave when they started it. And I came back from mat leave and I'm like, what is this? I love this. Yeah. So they had worked with a company, I think they were called HitSend, and developed it as a Facebook app. Based on the success that we were seeing at Starbucks, who did a mystarbucks.com. Mm-hmm. And we had been watching mystarbucks thinking, oh gosh, isn't that great? Like, look at that. Just look at all the customers who are just blah, 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 ideas, ideas, ideas. Mm-hmm. At Starbucks, you just pick and choose what they want to do, and that's fantastic. So while I was off on mat leave, the social team found this company and worked with them to create the Facebook app, Ideagora. It's called Indigo Ideas. And customers use it to post their ideas. A little bit experience feedback, but not too much. Generally, okay. it's very keyed around, I have an idea for you.
Okay.
Right? What if, or could you?
Right.
And then that gives us the ability to interact with those ideas in a super public way, where everyone can see, we heard that idea, we responded to it, and as we launch those ideas, we get to do the it launched. I mean, amazing, right? And then the person who first posted it and all the people who voted that idea up feel like they contributed, and they did, that yes. They were co-creators of the success of that new feature. It's a very powerful thing.
Have you ever been in a situation where there was an idea that people liked but that you couldn't implement or wouldn't implement?
Absolutely.
And how do you deal with that?
You know, it is what it is. So one of our biggest issues and biggest customer irritants is the fact that our pricing is different in store and online. Mm-hmm. And there are solid and unfortunate business reasons for that. So online, we have to compete with Amazon.
Yep.
So we are forced to sell books cheaply, much more cheaply than it actually takes to keep a business alive. So in store, because we don't have that pressure, we try to get our money back. So we sell books at their value. But that obviously is a huge pain point for customers. This customer will come in and they'll stand there with a book in their hand and say, why is this $30 when on here it's $19.99?
Right.
Why can't I pay $19.99 and take this book with me?
Yeah.
So this is an idea that we hear over and over. Hey, why don't you price match with yourself?
Yes. Yes.
Right. And so what are you going to say? So we catalog. So like I said during my talk about the idea inventory, how we catalog each request, and each request has an email address associated with it. They are cataloged just like every other idea. So every idea we can't action, we can't fix, we can't do anything about, is still cataloged so that it sits at the top of that list. Like it is, you know, it's in the 2000s or whatever, compared to everything else being in the 30s or the 20s. Right. And it just lives there. And it is what it is, but it is a constant reminder to the company and to the executive at large that we have a problem.
Yep.
Right? If we could knock that off somehow, that the world would change for us, that the world of customer sentiment would just flip.
Right.
And even though there's no way of fixing it yet, it does make people think about it, and it does make them aware that it's an issue, so I think it's still worth tracking.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Have you looked at or implemented buy online, pick up in store?
Yes.
And how does that work on the pricing side?
Yeah, tricky, right? So because of that, we can't do like click and collect, per se. So I can't go online and say, I want that book for $19.99, and I'll go pick it up this afternoon off the shelf.
Right.
We're prevented from doing that because of that price problem.
Right.
So what we have offered is we've offered buy online and ship to store. So just in the same way that it could be shipped to your house, we can ship it to the store for you. But it takes the same amount of time as it would take to get to your house. You know, it's an interim solution.
Right.
And it's one that a fair amount of customers use.
Really?
Yeah. It actually surprises me because I'm a heavy online shopper. And to me, the beauty of online shopping is that it's coming to my house.
Right? Although do you have somebody there at all times to pick it up? Like, no. That's the big barrier for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, a lot of people are concerned about that. I'm not. Like, there's always a bag from The Gap or whatever sitting on my porch.
Right.
There it is.
Yeah.
But yes, that's a concern for a lot of people. And that's, I guess, one reason that they would prefer that, to ship it to the store. So they get it at the cheaper online price, but then they send it to store. And of course, there's a benefit for us when they do that, because a customer who walks into a store, even if it's just to pick up an ordered item, is far more likely to make another purchase. So
I've done that with Best Buy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how does a company like yours, I mean, you've talked about Amazon, how do you compete? And why would people shop with you instead of them?
So it's a tough one. And the fact is, we cannot compete in the arenas that Amazon is good at, right? So they are good at price, and they are good at speed.
Yeah.
We do well on speed, but we are not looking at drones, right? Like, we just don't think we need to be there. But where we do compete is we compete in experience.
Yeah.
So if you talk to an Indigo customer, actually, we just did this recently. We had some cameras outside Indigo stores, and we just stopped people as they were coming out and asked them why they were there that day and how they felt about it and what happened. And they love the Indigo experience. I mean, there is love there. But those same people who will say, I just love Indigo, I love browsing, I love spending time there, when you ask them, what about online? Do you ever shop online with us? And they'll say, well, usually I'll shop with Amazon if I'm going to buy it online because it's cheap. Right. So this is just something that we know is out there, and we're committed to the experience, right? So figuring out how to bring that store experience that people are in love with and translating that online. It's a tough thing. You know, how do you take the real world and how do you make it into its digital equivalent?
So what sorts of things are you doing to try and accomplish that?
So we do some things, especially through listening. So as we listen and people say to us, you know what would be great, we try to make our features and our functionality of our website outstanding. We try to keep it clean. We keep it beautiful. I feel like we're the opposite of Amazon online. Amazon is very text heavy. It's a lot of information, and it's good information, but it's, for some people, it's not the Indigo experience, right?
Okay.
So we try to recreate the Indigo experience, which is a very curated experience.
Okay.
It's full of white space. Even in our stores, you'll feel it's full of white space. We let the product shine. We don't talk too much over them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it. Listening to customers when they come out with that one big idea. Like a customer who came to us with the idea of having lists on the site that they could just drag things into.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So they love to go into our stores, and they buy things for multiple people. We're a gifting destination. So they said, you know, I would love to have something like that online. I can't envision what it looks like, but something like that. So we spent a lot of time thinking about, what could we do? What is that?
Mm-hmm.
And so we ended up launching with our last site redesign, Drag and Draw. And this drawer that sits at the bottom of the site where you can kind of tuck products in.
Cool.
So you sort of create that store equivalent experience. And we're always looking for things like that. Like what will just make it slightly more joyful?
So what do you find are the biggest challenges in your day?
Road mapping, development queues, you know,
in terms of deciding what should be in what order, or just getting it all done?
Getting it all done, right? Like you sit on a mountain of amazing ideas.
Yes.
And, you know, when you're in our position, you're so intimate with the customers that you feel their pain, right? You feel their urgency.
Yes.
And when they've come up to you with something really good, you go back to the team and you say, this is really good, you guys. You want to drop everything, right? Drop everything because this is amazing. This could change everything. And you have to go through a process of, well, we are in it. Yeah, we'll put it in the development queue, Renee, but we are full up at least for the next 3 months, you know, and then maybe we can start working on it if it prioritizes properly against other things. So that's for sure the biggest heartache of my job is not being able to just do everything. If I could just do everything, oh my God, how exciting.
So from a customer experience perspective, then how do you sell people on giving you a proper budget to do stuff? Like, how does that happen?
I don't often.
not entirely
successful with that. But the best way are verbatims. Because those are the things that swung me, right? Yeah. I read that customer's heartfelt request.
Yeah.
And it made me go, oh, yes, that needs to be fixed.
Right.
So I bring that verbatim to the boardroom table.
Okay.
And Heather, who is our CEO, is an incredible woman, very visionary. She has a strong view of where our company is going. Mm-hmm. But she is incredibly emotionally connected with our customers as well. So while she's pushing the business, it is quite easy to put a verbatim in front of her and change her mind about something.
Okay.
So she would go to any length to fix a problem when she knows about it.
Right.
So that's usually how I'll do it. I'll sneaky the verbatim up to her.
Right.
Okay. If it's important enough, and we'll see what happens then.
What about, and I don't know if this falls into your job purview or not, but in terms of training staff in the front lines to ensure that that customer and service is consistent, whether it's in store, whether it's call center, whatever.
Yeah.
How do you deal with ensuring consistency?
Yeah, it's not in my purview. Okay. I think it should be. I should go take that.
Okay. All right. You hear that? She should be doing it.
I'm coming for you. but we have a team of very excellent customer service people who run both the in-store operations and the call center operations.
Okay.
And they are very much aligned. So one of the great things about the Indigo brand is that, like I was talking about, how we're all readers.
Mm-hmm.
We all value ideas. We're essentially the same people, no matter how different our skill sets are. But we're also very bought in to the brand promise, which is that whatever we do, everything we do in our day is to bring joy. And it sounds a little fluffy at first when you first hear that. You're like, oh, yeah, joy, whatever. But we really do live by that. We'll be in meetings, say like a development jab. We've got a whole bunch of developers and some UX people and some creative people around the table, and we're debating a new feature and how's that going to work. And the developer will say, but I don't know that that's the most joyful way for me to code it. And he's serious. He's like, do you know what I mean? Like, I need to code it light and beautiful and make sure it works. And you're like, okay, well, that is fair. That is fair.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anything else I should have asked you and I haven't?
No. I think you've asked me everything.
Well, I'm sure
you could do my job now.
No, I'm sure I couldn't, and I'm sure I haven't asked you everything, but thank you so much for your time.
You're so welcome.
Hope you enjoyed that interview. One thought that I can really relate to was Renee's comment that one of the biggest challenges is you sit on a mountain of amazing ideas, and it can be really kind of hard to stay focused and keep a path moving forward instead of jumping from great idea to great idea. I am working really hard on fighting that tendency and focusing on getting my customer experience book done, hopefully by the end of the summer. And of course, continuing to bring you these weekly podcasts, which often are related to the research that I'm doing for that book. I'm going to be teaching a course in executive education at University of Alberta next week. And in preparing my slides, I was referring to podcasts. So I went online and discovered, to my absolute delight, that the Frank Reactions podcast is now actually listed in iTunes in New and Noteworthy. Yoo-hoo! We did it! Anyway, so if you haven't subscribed yet in iTunes, you might want to do that. And while you're there, it would be absolutely awesome if you would leave your feedback and rate and review this podcast. I really appreciate getting your feedback, whether it is through iTunes comments or directly by email, tema@frankreactions.com. or by phone, toll-free number 1-866-544-9262. Or you can tweet me simply @TemaFrank, or find me on other popular social media. So that's all for today. Chat with you again in a week. Bye.